All right, welcome to Global E-commerce Tech Talks. I'm here on the mic, fresh from LA with Kent, Alan, Jim Okamura, co-founders who were there in person.
Thank you, Michael.
How's it going, Michael? We missed you out in LA. Thanks for Rick Watson, who filled into the first on-site Guelph podcast from LA, and we're looking forward to having you join us in New York, Michael.
Yeah, listen, I was to you and all the listeners, I was bummed out. I had a pre-existing long booked another podcasting studio in Montreal that was booked and I couldn't get out. So it would have actually been my first time to LA. I've been almost every country, or sorry, I've been to almost every city in the United States, but LA. So I was really looking forward to it, but nothing is going to keep me from getting there in New York in the fall. So let's get to what we thought we'd get on the mic together. I wanted to hear, and I'm sure everyone wants to hear, just kind of your, how did the event go? And let's start with how the event went and who was there and you know, some of the insights that you culled from it. Kent, why don't you kick us off with give us an overview of what the event was about, how it happened, and just set the stage for us, so to speak.
You got it, Michael. Yeah, no, it was just great to get back. So Thursday, April 21st, we got everybody back together at the Directors Guild of America, and Mother Nature totally hooked us up with probably some of the best weather one could ever find anywhere. The wonderful thing about the DGA is lots of light, and you know, I really think that set the tone for the day. It was really great to get the West Coast group back together. I would say the difference this year from the last time we got everybody together back in 2020 was we had a lot of direct-to-consumer brands and, you know, certainly a lot of energy. Crowds are still kind of coming back to the event, so did not have the headcount, if you will, that we had back at 2020. But I would say we had more enthusiasm and, you know, it definitely felt like that kind of reunion, lots of, hey, I haven't seen you guys for so long, it's great to reconnect. Had a bunch of new speakers, made a big push to be as inclusive as possible in the agenda, and the community really stepped up for that. You know, had a whole new team working with us. So, you know, quick shout out to the Ramella team who just did a great job behind the scenes, making it just as professional and as engaging and as warm and as welcoming as we have ever had, I think, at Guelph, LA.
Well, and I saw some pictures, a fantastic stage, and it was a great setup. So I'd even not being there just from the pictures you posted, I'd echo that. Now, for a second, you talked about the LA versus the New York events. In character, how are they a little bit different? Is it more apparel retailers, or obviously geography plays a role, but give me a sense for the difference between the two events. If there's one, it may be a...
Sure. I mean, I'll take a first crack at it, and Jim, I'll let you talk a little bit about, you know, maybe from a product category perspective. And, you know, we had a great dinner the night before. I'll let Jim weigh in a little bit on that. And I know he had a really interesting table, as did I. But yeah, I'd say the biggest difference is, you know, in general, then I'll jump into, you know, more specifically this year, is that we do tend to get a little bit more of, you know, say the denim fashion side of things, as opposed to maybe the luxury fashion. And so, you know, kind of that California lifestyle brand, no surprise, shows up. Thing that was interesting, too, was, you know, it was definitely a more of a local show this year. I think we're still seeing people slowly get back to kind of hopping on planes and flying into Guelph, L.A. Not to say that we didn't have folks down from Seattle and San Francisco. It was definitely more of a West Coast, but, you know, really a truly, you know, kind of Southern California. And it was great to just be able to pull everybody back together, because as I mentioned earlier, it was kind of this reunion. One thing that I would say I noticed just from registration and from some of the speaker prep calls that we did was more beauty, especially more healthy and smart beauty, I would say was probably definitely one of the takeaways. A lot of smaller brands, you know, some of these folks are just out of the garage, so to speak, and are growing fast, and huge focus on sustainability, especially among the young D2C brands. But Jim, why don't you jump in? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I wanted to build upon what Kent was saying earlier, the greater presence of the DTC brands. I think Guelph is a bit of a microcosm of what we're seeing in the industry at large. The talent migration as a lot of e-commerce leaders, you know, move to some of these DTC brands. We've certainly seen that, you know, in recent years, and that's reflected in, you know, these are the same, you know, challenger brands who are taking share, market share from, you know, the incumbent leaders. So
now, it's now when you say, when you describe a DTC brand, just so we're all clear on the lingo, is that like a digitally native vertical brand? Is that an analog for that? Because, you know, lots of companies are direct to consumer in one way, shape or another. But
I certainly, you know, we've seen the acronyms, you know, change, you know, mm-hmm. just in recent years. You know, certainly we kind of equate the digital natives, you know, to some of these, you know, DTC, you know, brands. And I think, you know, that's been even that's made us kind of rethink Guelph in general, that the notion of global DTC, you know, is something that we see with a lot of these kind of younger, you know, brands who are almost by definition global right out of the gates, right? So I think just to see the community kind of evolve, you know, to where LA is drawing, you know, from, you know, so many of, you know, younger high growth, you know, brands, you know, who are clearly digital natives, you know, to begin with. But certainly are, you know, looking at some of that international traffic, you know, coming to their site or maybe, you know, through their marketplace presence in other other regions, and certainly seeing, you know, the global opportunity and acting upon it. So, you know, that was just kind of interesting to see that. And, you know, I think, you know, Kent touched upon, you know, some of the you know, the different categories we might see in represented, you know, in Los Angeles compared to New York. I think it's interesting where we're seeing, you know, some of, you know, not only the clean beauty, but some on the health and wellness side. And while they're actually out of Austin, you know, was it, you know, an example of that, you know, would one of our speakers, the CMO from Nutribolt, Austin-based Nutribolt, Raja Grar, you know, was one of our speakers. And just again, just seeing where categories like, you know, health and wellness certainly are on the rise in general, and certainly so on the global front as well.
Right on. And Kent, it's not like we haven't been talking to the community. We've had a bunch of interviews, you know, since the last event in New York, and we've been connecting with the community. But is there anything that jumped out at you that was different, that's evolved? I mean, you know, in person's a different context and texture. You're having dinner with people. The conversations, by their very nature, can be more involved, a little more interesting. Anything jump out at you that you wanted to comment on just overall?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. So, you know, as much as we talk about these you know, smaller brands and the challenger brands, or the, you know, the micro multinationals, as we quoted one of the big consulting firms that had done some research on this. You know, we did lead the day off with Angela Clark from Patagonia and Kelly Swanson from Reformation, which was, you know, arguably one of the original sustainable brands, been around building a great digitally led team for a long time. Elizabeth Krauss, you know, kind of a big supporter of the Guelph West Coast community from Speedo, you know, Pentland Brands owned Speedo. And actually Jack Goldstein joined us as well from Public Lec, again, kind of one of those, you know, emerging brands that we were talking about earlier. But one of the big takeaways from that session, again, the opening keynote, was, you know, certainly we talked about sustainability. We talked about the reprioritization or the refocusing, if you will, on core markets. So as people have, you know, kind of come back or doubled down on their international growth, there has been this idea of, hey, let's go back to where we're strongest and make sure the customer experience is, you know, where it should be. Part of that was the customer journey has changed during the pandemic, and whether that's, you know, kind of embracing new kinds of payments, or boy, throughout the day we talked about logistics, whether it was, you know, kind of upstream supply chain constraints and opportunities, or just kind of getting that product closer to the end customer, which again was a key theme. It was just really interesting to kind of see the folks come together. But I would say, and you know, I'll bounce it over to Jim too, because he does a lot of work on org design. But it was really interesting to see how the pandemic had influenced how leaders, you know, and Elizabeth was great talking about this on stage, how they've been able to really kind of pull together their teams. I think back to even Gelf 2020 when we were in LA, we were talking about the challenges of being able to make the teams in China, for instance, feel like part of the US or part of the North American team. So Zoom has in many ways broken down a lot of the silos and a lot of the challenges. But at the same time, you know, there's been kind of merchandising breakthroughs, which, Jim, I know you, kind of had some interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, you know, I do think it was interesting. It was a common theme throughout many of the sessions, you know, during the Gelf LA program, just how brands, you know, are working differently, you know, really as a result of the last 2 years of, you know, working remotely. So that Speedo example where they were, you know, buying from different regions, merchandise, you know, essentially that the North American team would buy from the Asia Pacific or the EMEA region, you know, kind of a catalog, you know, so to speak, was something that, you know, she said never really happened before. And I think, you know, that was, you know, again, just part of, you know, this broader theme that we've certainly had forever. But I think even more so this past Gelf LA was, you know, it really does take a village to really seize the opportunity in global e-commerce. And I think that's what so many of these companies, you know, have realized. And that's not just the village within your company, but it certainly extends to all the business partners, the solution providers who really do enable a lot of the global and cross-border e-commerce that we're talking about.
Well, notwithstanding the whole COVID crisis, since you last gathered the community, the village is getting even more complicated. We've got war in Europe, and we've got supply chain challenges that are just getting worse, not better. Any comments on the current state? Is there a resilience that has been built up within the community? I mean, we all went through the COVID era, and which necessarily built a fair bit of resistance. Is it coming out of the heat of the COVID era has built up a muscle memory resilience, Jim, that allows these organizations to have agility to take whatever comes next in stride and continue moving forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, whether it was by design or not, I think, you know, I'll give Kent, you know, credit for coining the echo boom, you know, as we've been calling it, you know, in terms of, you know, global e-commerce, that certainly, you know, the boom of e-commerce, you know, around the world benefited a lot of these brands, and some of them were ready for it and some of them weren't. And so they were, you know, forced to really kind of react, you know, quickly. So what we've talked about in e-commerce for decades now, again, that ability to be nimble or agile, to be able to run a test quickly and then, you know, let the test results kind of guide, you know, what's going to be best, you know, for the customer experience. These are all the things that I think, you know, we're seeing the stickiness, you know, of that echo boom. And so I think, you know, it really does force a lot of brands who are competing out there for the global consumer's attention that they need to, again, you know, be very, you know, reactive you know, really live up to that agility bar that's been raising. Mm.
Kent, I'm going to ask you, and then I'll ask you, Jim, the same questions. If for those that weren't able to make it, I mean, we've got some great interviews. I've been listening to them, and we'll put them out as bonus episodes or episodes of the podcast that were done live there. So we've got some great thought leadership there. But in terms of, you know, for those who weren't able to make it, key takeaways, one, two, or three key takeaways that you had that you could share now on the podcast for those that didn't make it. And of course, to whet their appetite, so to speak, for a great event coming up at the end of September in New York City.
Yeah. We're back in New York for Gelf New York on one full day, September 29th, Thursday. So really looking forward to that. You know, kind of reflecting back to your comment about Europe, I'd say that was one of the key takeaways. I know in the past, sometimes we've been a little challenged to make sure that we give a balanced, you know, kind of overview of the market opportunities. We've often skewed to China and Southeast Asia and some of the Asia Pacific success stories. This year, we were clearly talking about Europe a lot. And I think, you know, maybe it's the 1A or the second is, you know, how do you get closer to this post-pandemic consumer consumer? And the answer that was pretty loud and clear was that you get the product closer to them. So, you know, as I mentioned, I know Kelly was Kelly from Reformation on the opening keynote panel was talking about how they, you know, whether it was Brexit or some of the other VAT or some of the other, you know, kind of border frictions. And again, setting aside the whole kind of, you know, war that's going on over there now, just really kind of shipping cross border is more challenging. You know, obviously the cost of the physical cost of sure. you know, fuel,
rerouting
fuel
planes,
surcharges, yeah, you know, that was a topic as well. But yeah, just the cost of getting product shipped is, you know, the reality is it's really kind of hit these international shipping margins where, you know, didn't dive too much into it, but, you know, I think it's fairly well known that there were some attractive margins. And as those margins got compressed, you know, people looked upstream and it's like, okay, well, you know, the good news during the pandemic was that, you know, there were a lot of international media buys that were very cost attractive. By and large, those have gone away. And so, you know, we're kind of seeing this squeeze at the top of the funnel and the post-order squeeze as well. In fact, we had, you know, Bennett from Signify joined Raja, who Jim had talked about earlier from Nutribolt, and had a great session just kind of talking about how innovating in the middle of the funnel, you know, whether it's through, you know, smarter fraud or better payment or just making sure the on-site experience is what, you know, kind of, I hesitate to call it the new consumer, but the, you know, kind of the post-pandemic consumer is, I guess, what we'll be calling it from now on. So, yeah, this whole idea of, you know, revisiting global logistics, looking at ways to work with 3PLs is something that, you know, came up a lot during the session. In fact, we kicked off the afternoon with Casey Gee from Manscaped and Pablo from Balsa Brands and focused solely on global logistics. And again, it was, you know, Brexit has created, you know, lingering channels and there's other stuff coming too. In fact, Jim, you know, weigh a little bit in on, you know, Canada. You know, there's a lot of border friction there that people are having to look at.
Yeah, that was, you know, going to be one of my kind of takeaways. You know, certainly always kind of interested to lead the Canada focus session, you know, at any Guelph, you know, event. And, you know, that's always such a key market for any brand. So in Guelph LA, we had a Canada session that certainly I was learning more, you know, from Thomas, you know, from Passport in terms of some of the recent regulatory, you know, changes, some of which, you know, I was well familiar with. You know, the new NAFTA, so to speak, you know, the de minimis, you know, changes that have been happening. But, you know, what I learned from him was some of the changes that are still coming. So from the Canadian Assessment and Revenue Management, or CARM, there's going to be a shift in the a burden of who is the importer of record, moving away from the brokers who help, you know, a lot of brands move their product across border to the brands themselves, who now have to become the importer of record. So changes like that, you know, certainly are important, you know, for our community to be aware of and understand the implications, you know, to their business. And certainly, you know, Michael, what we've talked about in past, you know, episodes, you know, that the rise in the Canadian e-commerce certainly is, you know, now leveling the playing field, so to speak, you know, with for Canadian, you know, consumers buying from U.S. brands or other international brands.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, one of the things that certainly I you know, took note, you know, from the overall program. The other thing that I was, you know, really quite interested in, and Kent kind of alluded to this, you know, as well, while we were covering kind of the entire customer journey or funnel, you know, two of the sessions that kind of stood in my mind, you know, were related to, again, a hot category within, you know, the sneakers or running shoe, you know, world. You know, one of them was with NJ Falk of Athletic Propulsion Labs, you know, a very hot, you know, sneaker brand. And so she talked about their global journey and what they've been, you know, really doing to again, you know, drive, you know, those sales. And immediately following, you know, her was a session where we talked to GOAT, their director of operations. Again, you know, it was really very insightful. And if you're not familiar with the GOAT, you know, model, Hamad Akmal, their head of international operations and global logistics, you know, shared a lot around a re-commerce model like what GOAT is doing. So goat, you know, is certainly known for sneaker sales, and so sourcing, you know, again, product outside of the U.S., you know, for resale in their re-commerce model was really kind of driving, you know, their global logistics footprint, you know, so to speak. So he talked about as they expanded outwards, you know, from the U.S., you know, they put in a warehouse, you know, in Hong Kong, you know, initially, and then kind of fanned out throughout Asia Pacific. And so that was, you know, very, very interesting to kind of hear a different, you know, business model, such as in re-commerce and what that does to, again, the global logistics, you know, challenges. So, again, interesting to hear from, you know, again, whether it's the top of the funnel or, you know, again, back end, you know, operations and, you know, what these different brands are doing, you know, as they are all really embracing kind of a global e-commerce growth model.
Yeah, right on. All right, well, from goat to Guelph, Kent, once again, hit us with the next time the community will be getting together. And as I said, there'll be lots of episodes coming out between now and then. But what are the plans between now and New York City? And just hit us with those dates again, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, you got it. So, well, you know, to be honest, as you had mentioned earlier, you know, how do people get involved? You know, one thing we learned during the pandemic was, you know, not only the value of podcasts like this, but, you know, breaking out the cameras and videotaping and recording as much as we can at our Guelph events. So, you know, kind of started our Guelph YouTube channel and got all the sessions from our event that we did, our kind of comeback New York event that we co-located with the Commerce Next team. And we went ahead and got the kept the film going. I mean, you know, there's no better place than Hollywood to make movies, yeah. Right? So it was fun to, you know, kind of get all the sessions recorded. We're kind of cranking through the post-production piece of that. So we should have all the videos up, you know, in the next week or so from LA. We'll continue to do, you know, kind of do our recording when we get to New York. So again, Thursday.
I want to do a live stream too. I, you know, I've started doing live streams, which is just a pile of fun at these events too. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry, just bring the popcorn because I'm sure it's pretty interesting stuff.
We do want, you know, obviously people to come feel safe to join us live and in person, but you know, there's a lot of people that aren't going to be able to make it. So yeah, no, let's actually, you know, Jim, Scott and I will kind of look at the live streaming opportunity. But I tell you, just being able to kind of bring the content to the people, we put a ton of time and effort, and, you know, huge shout out to all our speakers in LA. And, you know, if you are interested in joining us in New York, again, that's Thursday, September 29th. We love to get new voices up on stage, new faces, you know, definitely a lot of new speakers in LA, and we're hoping to get, you know, some of our favorites back in New York. But yeah, if people are interested, you know, speak at globalecommerce.co is our gateway to kind of bringing in new content. So yeah, no, Mike, and again, appreciate the podcast, and yeah, we'll be back in New York full day, you know, probably obviously pull together speakers and folks like that for the dinner ahead of time as well.
Fantastic.
Hey, so just to give ahead, just to give your listeners, you know, like where to go to get some of that, you know, Guelph LA 2022 content, YouTube, go to the Global E-Commerce Leaders Forum channel. And we're certainly going to be, you know, sharing a lot of the all of the program from LA. And you'll also find, you know, some of the program from Guelph, New York from 2021. So this is something, again, we're trying to get better at, you know, keeping the conversation going in between our big events. Yeah.
Right on. Well, bring the popcorn, bring the licorice. It's great watching, and I'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes as well, so we'll be able to get people where they need to go. Gentlemen, so great to see you. Or sorry, gentlemen, so great to hear your voice. I wish I had the opportunity to see you, but New York. New York, New York,
Mike,
New York.
We will see you in New York, hopefully, on the 29th. So we'll get Mike back on-site live from...
Exactly.
And yeah, you tell us if you want to do a little live podcasting. That could
be that's what I was talking about, live streaming. That's what I was talking about, a bit of live streaming. I was
watching your live stream from Montreal, or at least the recording of your live stream, and I was, you know, both laughing and crying, I can tell you.
Well, start spreading the news, gentlemen. I'll see you both in New York. Thanks for joining me on the podcast, and let's keep in touch, and we'll make sure and keep the community up to date with everything that's going on. If you like this podcast, you can follow us on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music Podcast Channel, or your favorite podcast platform. please rate and review with a 5-star rating, and be sure to recommend to a friend or colleague in the retail and cross-border commerce industry. I'm Michael LeBlanc, founder and president of Emmy LeBlanc Company, Inc. You can learn more about me on LinkedIn, and you can learn more about the Global E-Commerce Leaders Forum, including the upcoming forum in New York in September, and continue to keep up with the latest on cross-border commerce online at www.globalecommerceleadersforum.com. Safe travels, everyone.